What's up, and welcome to NExpress PopOptic.com's Nintendo podcast. I am your host, Tim Mason. With me today are Ricky D.
Hello, Tim.
And Patrick Murphy.
Hey, guys. Good to be back again.
Yeah, seriously. Thanks for joining us again. Aaron can't make it today, so our best wishes to him. In the meantime, we have a lot to cover today, you guys. There has been some huge news just out of the blue. I have no idea why some of this came out when it did. Some of it makes sense, like the fact that Nintendo has named a new president. So that's all good and well.
That was something that needed to be done.
Yeah. There's been a lot of role changing, and some of the bigwigs got some new fancy names, making them even bigger, I guess.
Yeah, they're called Fellows now, right?
Yeah, Fellows. They also combined some of the development departments into one big unit, so essentially they have two giant teams at Nintendo now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all interesting. Who was named president?
Tatsumi Kimishima. Yeah, I believe that's how you pronounce it. I'm not positive on that, of course.
So here's the thing. I know jack shit about business, right? But from my understanding is he is the president, the new president of Nintendo, but he doesn't have the same kind of control that Iwata had. And so acting under him or right beside him, he has two right-wing men, including Miyamoto.
Exactly. And this is only a year contract, by the way. This isn't, it's not like he was given a long-term presidency here. I believe his role is to pick out the next, the new leadership.
Which is interesting. It also might be a test run just to see how it goes.
But I'm glad that Miyamoto is not the president because he's like a creative type. You know, you need this guy to focus on games, not to focus on business strategies and whatnot.
Yeah,
absolutely. He needs to be honing their younger game developers and just getting them ready to take over the business when he's actually gone.
But it's interesting because Iwata-san like really had, I'm not going to say he had full control, but it kind of felt like he did have full control. Like it was his vision. He was the one who was calling the shots and he would make the final decision. Now it's completely different. Now it feels like they actually do have a board and everyone and anyone can make a say. And even though this guy, Tatsumi, is president, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be making all the calls or all the shots. Like
right.
It's basically like just a face. It's like you said, Tim, like he's only got a year contract. So they might just be testing out the waters to try to figure out who exactly would make the right fit. So the 1 year contract to me means that they don't even know if this guy is right for the role, which kind of has me a little worried.
You know, he was briefly president of Nintendo America before Reggie. So he has at least some experience doing the interim management type stuff. So he could be okay for that. And he also said that he wasn't going to do anything with Iwata's vision. That's going to stay, you know, on track as of now.
Okay.
They're even continuing with Nintendo Directs they announced today, which they said in a statement today, though they wouldn't say who is actually going to be featured in them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. It'll be different no matter what.
Oh my God. Do you think it's going to be like Reggie?
I would say Bill Trinan too. I mean, he's always been in them.
Well, because you would have to be fluent in Japanese.
Yeah, which Bill is. So I wouldn't be surprised if they use him as the new guy. I mean, he's got the personality, too. He seems to have the sort of jokey personality that Iwata had.
Yeah. So what else happened? We just got a Mario Maker stage for Super Smash Bros. Announced.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
That does look
not,
really
it's
cool.
It's not a huge surprise. We've been getting everything in Smash Bros. Everything. Like, whether it be Miiverse or like any character DLC, they get their own level, so it makes sense so that this huge hit that Nintendo has on their hands would get a stage already.
Yeah, they had to, right? I mean, they've got the Mario Maker ball rolling right now. They got to keep it that way.
Speaking of which, stick around for our main event later on where we will be talking about Mario Maker. Just a little plug, but yeah, I'm excited to try this out.
But here's the thing, okay, so it wasn't a big surprise. Like, even in my review of Super Mario Maker, which I'm going to talk about in the next segment during our main event, I pretty much stated that this is just the start of something greater, something bigger. Like, Super Mario Maker is so huge. It's getting such a positive, overwhelming response from fans and critics alike. that they are clearly going to be making a sequel, and they're going to find ways to tie in Amiibo and different games and franchises into Super Mario Maker. So I was totally expecting a stage for Super Smash. The thing is, I'm not entirely sure I understand how this works, because it changes the look of the stage each and every single time you load it up. So does this mean that we can create the stages ourselves, or upload them from our account from Super Mario Maker game? Or is Nintendo going to like release pre-made stages that are going to randomly be selected every time you select the stage in Super Smash? Like, I don't understand.
My guess is that, like the Miiverse stage, how it randomly like filters through comments and posts them up there, I'm guessing it'll just feature like creator or player design levels in the background or something.
Yeah,
that's my guess. I'm guessing it's going to be like more of a canvas in the background that gets changed.
Yeah, I think they'd have a hard time getting actual player created stages to work properly with Smash Brothers, because it's such a, I mean, they spend so much time getting that so precise that I'm not sure that they'd allow it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they take some kind of inspiration from the zaniness that's gone on the Mario Maker community.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is Nintendo's going to release pre-made stages that all take the Super Mario Maker look.
Yeah, I think so.
So technically they're going to be releasing more than one stage. It's just that each and every single time you select the Super Mario Maker stage, it's going to randomly choose which one you're going to get.
Yeah, I would bet that is. I would bet that's how it goes. I'm not sure like how they're going to randomize it or anything like that. But didn't the video had, you know, that the hand coming in and fixing portions of the stage and changing portions of the stage. It'll be interesting. I would guess that's going to be pre-programmed, just like some of the other changing levels in Smash Bros.
Yeah, I'm guessing it'll be like standard Mario platforms or something.
Well, yeah. So the new stage is going to draw upon elements from the original Super Mario, the Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario World, and New Super Mario, which is basically what Super Mario Maker draws from also.
Mm-hmm.
So you can probably expect, like, they'll all of a sudden, a platform will be drawn on the right, and you'll be able to jump over there for a little bit, but then someone will hit the dog button, and it'll all disappear. Something like that is my guess.
Yeah,
they'll be playing around with it for sure. And hopefully they'll create some stuff that's just absolutely bonkers.
Right, which has me really excited, because this means that the stage itself can actually cause damage on the player.
Yeah, that would be great. If they could get like those, you know, just all sorts of pitfalls and traps, make some really, really hard stages. I don't know if that would frustrate Smash players or if they would love that. What do you think? I think that would be fun.
I think it depends on the Smash player. Like, for example, my nephew, he doesn't like playing with weapons.
Okay.
So he turns everything off because he just wants to fight someone and test their skills as an actual fighter, as a player of Super Smash, and not have to worry about being killed off because someone grabs the Donkey Kong hammer and then you're dead within like one hit, right?
Yeah.
But some of my friends actually like to use weapons because they feel like it evens out the playing field, because then it's also a matter of chance. So if you're playing with someone who has like really remarkable skills in playing Super Smash and you're just sort of like a casual player, you still have a chance of beating that person.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I like at least that little Mario Kart-esque aspect of it. What do you think of the stage? Like Kirby, the Kirby stage has lava on the ceilings and stuff like that, and you can get hurt bad in those stages without even fighting anybody. I'm guessing it'll be something like that, where you can get hurt regardless of whether you get hit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That stage is just plain too big, though. I always turn it off.
I like it sometimes.
But you know the thing about Super Mario Maker is what frustrates me is it's taking me away from my favorite game, which is Super Smash. Because I'm like hooked on Super Mario Maker right now that I haven't played Super Smash in like 5 days. And so this would give me a reason to return to Super Smash.
Yeah, I kind of felt like Super Mario Maker deserved a little throne on my shelf because it removed Splatoon from my console. I was like, you did it. You dethroned the old king. Good job.
That's what I was wondering about that too. How has Mario Maker affected the Splatoon community?
They really? Just released some new weapons, so
yeah,
it's still got content coming out. I'm guessing it'll be like a good balancing act for most players, whether they feel like creative or they feel shooty.
Yeah, Yeah, Splatoon is definitely something you can just sort of zone out and play. I mean, you know, it's competitive, but you can just sort of relax while you're playing it. Mario Maker requires a little more thought.
Well, and we'll talk about this later. I think Splatoon is also really great for tiny incremental play. You can play for 30 minutes and get off and you're totally satisfied. Mario Maker is like a pit of joy that you get lost in. So I have lost like way too much time without realizing it. So this is all just the small news, you guys. There was some massive, massive news this week out of the blue. I have no idea why they decided to announce it right now, but I was all the happier for it. And that is that Pokemon Go is a thing. And what Pokemon Go even is essentially a mobile app in which you can battle and catch and trade Pokemon with an extended, what do they call it? The Pokemon Go
Plus,
something
the Pokemon Go
plus. There you go.
Plus.
So that you don't always have to be looking at your phone. It's like a little Google location marker mixed with a Pokeball. Go check it out. That's a wearable app. So that you don't have to always be looking at your phone. But essentially, you're going to go out into the real world and look for Pokemon and battle Pokemon and trade Pokemon and then even raid with Pokemon.
I don't understand. I'm just like I watched the trailer and I don't understand what this game is. Like
That was the world's collective imagination at that point, running rampant. They were all actually just sitting on their iPhones mindlessly.
Now, what it said to me, or what I took from that, was that there will be some AR elements to this, and that you might actually, through your phone,
Heavy,
see
heavy AR,
Pokemon,
yeah.
see Pokemon out
Okay,
there.
but the thing is, I still don't understand the point of the game. So you're walking around, you got this mobile app, which is essentially a game, a Pokemon game. And so you're walking down the street and you could see a Pokemon like hiding behind a garbage can. Like I don't get it. Like what's the objective? What's the point in this game?
To catch Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all,
What do
Ricky.
you mean to catch Pokemon? You're not actually catching anything. You're on your cell phone.
Well, yeah, but you're not actually catching anything in a game either, but it's getting you out in the world and you can kind of hunt down Pokemon in real
I
life.
know, but when you play a video game, like you have a controller. And the reason why you have a controller, because it puts you in control of the characters and the game. This is your phone. I don't know anything about Pokemon, okay? And so the thing is, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. So what do you, like, what happens if, like, so what, you're walking down the street and you're gonna get like a no notification, like your phone's gonna ring?
Or your app will start to vibrate when you're near a Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what the plus is for. The plus will actually vibrate. You can play the game without the plus, but the plus will cue you in on when something's near.
So you don't have to be on your phone the whole time.
That's
So
right.
Nintendo's just going to randomly choose where they're going to be placing Pokemon around the world? I'm
guessing it'll have something to do with how many people with the app are in one specific location. Like I'm guessing it'll be pretty huge here in Seattle. Like it just makes sense. Nintendo's right here. You've got a huge like Japanese community here. It just makes perfect sense.
San Francisco is going to be big too. Just the condensed community. There'll be lots of places for people to look, and there are plenty of people that do the mobile games and Nintendo games out there.
But if you analyze the trailer, which I've maybe done too much, if you it's only Gen 1 Pokemon.
Well,
It's
no, hold on a second.
no, I mean in the
In the
trailer. In the
trailer,
trailer
right,
specifically.
which is
They
weird
haven't said.
because that is one thing I noticed. Like, I know enough about Pokemon to realize that it's only the old school characters featured in that trailer.
And it's free to play. So I'm guessing, and like the age demographic of the trailer, there's a lot of young adults and not a lot of children. So my honest guess is that not everyone wants to go out and buy a 3DS to play their old favorite game, Pokemon, but everyone has a cell phone. So anyone can play this and recapture that initial excitement of gotta catch them all, catching and trading and battling all their Pokemon.
Okay,
Whether
but
it'll play like an actual Pokemon game, no one knows yet, but it's gonna have the same spirit.
yeah, and
Okay,
you are the
it's
trainer. Like,
filling.
instead of controlling somebody, you are that guy that you would normally
Yeah.
control.
Okay, so. But when you say catch a Pokemon, like what do you have to do? Hold up your cell phone and snap a picture?
So I guess what the thing
I
is,
mean, if it plays out like Pokemon Snap, maybe.
the Go Plus has a little button on it that essentially serves like a Pokeball. So you would throw that, and you saw people in the trailer throwing a fake ball at the thing. But the Go Plus has a button that sort of serves that function. I'm assuming your phone will also have something I hope you don't have to make a throwing motion with your phone. That might be really embarrassing for people in public.
I doubt they would do that just because so many people throw their phones.
So you could be sitting in church, and all of a sudden you realize there's a Pokemon sitting next to
Okay,
you.
so Nintendo did say it took them, or I can't remember if it was Nintendo or Niantic, the developer of this, or the Pokemon company. They did say they had a hard time making sure that people wouldn't just be running out into the middle of the street to catch Pokemon. So they are going in specific places. Like they're trying to make it so that it's not going to be in some awkward place, like you're sitting in church and there's a Pokemon there.
So they basically use like Google Maps.
Yeah, yep.
Exactly. And there will be like placed Pokemon and it'll notify you in large terms, I've heard, rather than just like really, really minuscule distances. That's like, oh, you're like 3 meters from a Pokemon. As soon as you're relatively close, it'll tell you that it's in the area and you can catch it then.
But here's the thing, because to me, this is sort of like Street Pass, right? And so if you are like me and you live somewhere where not too many people have a 3DS, the Street Pass isn't a lot of fun because I never pass anyone who has a 3DS. So, like, if you live in Portugal, for example, like on the islands, like where my family's from, like, is it going to work? Am I still going to be able to catch Pokemon?
That's a good question. I'm assuming that it won't necessarily be tied to how many other players are in your area, although the number of Pokemon might be. But if somebody has the app, I'm hoping that they're able to recognize that we need to put some Pokemon there.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. But I love that, like, Ricky, you're already explaining why it's not going on the 3DS because everyone has a cell phone and not everyone even has a 3DS. Like it'd be fun on the 3DS, but it makes perfect sense to make this cool mobile app that I'm guessing, like, they said that one of the points of this game is to get people to go outside and notice the world around them.
Yeah, because they were saying that everyone basically is always looking down on their like mobile devices as opposed to looking up, and so they want people to look up and actually notice the world. But here's the thing: is this going to like increase my data? Am I going to be paying like a huge monthly cell phone bill at the end of the day because I just downloaded like 500 Pokemon characters?
I That's
mean, you've
not a
gotta,
good question.
yeah, these are good questions, but you've got to recognize who, like, the names behind this. Like, Nintendo is so good at making sure that quality is there and that it's not pricey
But it's
ever.
not just Nintendo. Nintendo's not the developer of this game.
No.
No, and I guess this company, they had done a similar, Google-based MMORPG that worked for them. That did things in a very, very similar way. That was very popular, from what I understand.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It still
Ingress,
is.
it is, right? Yeah.
For me personally, I'm interested because, like I said, like I never really got into Pokemon when I was younger. I was always a huge Nintendo fan, but I never ever touched a Pokemon game. And I know a lot of my friends, including you guys, are obsessed with Pokemon. For me, Pokemon's just like some really cool characters I can add to like my Super Smash game and buy amiibo for, right?
Right.
But the idea of having an app and or slash game that's a Pokemon game that I can carry along with me on my cell phone is great because I have to commute to, say, work, and it takes me about 45 minutes to an hour by bus sometimes. And so, what do I do when I'm on my bus? I browse websites, I listen to my music, I listen to podcasts, and I could be playing a Pokemon game, and maybe it'll give me some kind of understanding of who these characters are.
The other thing is to it's not just catching the Pokemon. Like you are going to be battling with other trainers out there. So you can set up battles. You can randomly run across somebody and be attacked and have to battle.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for teachers right now. Yeah. I worked at an elementary school, and it's already hard enough to get your kids to put away their cell phones. When they all have Pokemon games on their cell phones, holy shit.
I know, and they're all buzzing at the same time. Is there a
The big thing about this is that, like, it's an app that gets you to enjoy the world around you and gets you to go outside. Like, that sounds a lot like Nintendo and its quality of life project that was like, who knows what happened to that?
I kind of feel like Nintendo has like some serious concerns about the health of their fans because even when you're playing like a game like Super Mario Maker and you're uploading level, it shows a picture of like someone doing push-ups or sorry, sit-ups.
Sit-ups. Yeah, you should be doing this. You're fat.
That's right. I
But
saw that. I didn't even put two and two together on that one, but you're right.
the other thing is that, like, this is one step to both a Pokemon MMO and Pokemon being real, which is definitely an improvement of my quality of life. So, like, that by definition is a quality of life project. So,
And it sounds
I'm.
super interactive too, which
So,
is good. Like
yeah,
you're going
I'm
to be
pumped.
interacting with other human beings. And from what the trailer showed, I think they're organizing events where people will actually congregate in order to
Yeah.
do something. I couldn't quite
Yeah,
tell what
due to
was
these
happening.
raids to like go up against the strongest Pokemon in the Pokemon world and take it down together, which will be
Yeah.
huge. That'll be so fun to see the bigwigs.
See, now here's the thing. Okay, so that is a really cool idea. So, for example, at Montreal Comic Con this year, I went and they had like a Super Smash tournament, right? So, let's say you do sort of have this organized event. Everyone has to look at their personal cell phone in order to see what's going on. So, how do you display it for a crowd?
That's a great question. Again, no idea. I have no idea what they're planning. Like what the events would consist of. It could be something where a battle takes place and you don't constantly have to look at your phone. It might be, I thought maybe we were talking about this earlier, that maybe it was just sheer numbers could overcome an enemy Pokemon. They needed this many people to show up or something like that.
Or just like that, like a of a certain level capacity reached.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Tim shows up with his level 100 Charizard, takes down Mewtwo.
Whole crowd goes wild, Tim.
Yeah,
You saw it in
yeah,
the video.
yeah. It wasn't. It's not actually going to be a Pikachu that's like a last minute blow. It's just going to be me showing up with Charizard and killing it dead immediately and walking away.
It seems like the most natural thing in the world, according to that trailer.
Yeah, everyone in the middle of Times Square shouting at Mewtwo.
It's a pretty awesome trailer. No, I love
It's
it.
pretty epic. They really went all out for that one.
It's like the culmination of that weird Google Maps game that they released last year, Pokemon Snap and Pokemon games. Like all of those together have like reached Pokemon Go, and it's
Yeah.
the weirdest thing.
I think this game is going to be huge. Just absolutely huge.
Yeah. And like, do you guys remember the PokeWalker from like 5 years ago?
The what?
Okay, so with Pokemon Gold and Heart Gold and Soul Silver, they released a little walker, which was a pedometer, and you can store your Pokemon in it.
What do you mean, like
And
a
like,
walker? Like a walker like old people use?
yeah,
No,
exactly. Kind of
no.
like
Not
floating
something to
around
help
there.
you walk. Like something that kept
Yeah,
track of your
kind of like a
footsteps. A
pedometer.
pedometer. A
Yeah.
pedometer.
Okay. And I like that I just like, I immediately went to like, yeah, old people use pedometers all the time.
It's
But no,
because people have been
walker.
playing Pokemon so long that their legs have atrophied and they can no longer walk.
Yeah, naturally. So it was like a pedometer, but in my high school, everyone had one and everyone wore them on display because everyone was proud.
What kind of high school did you go to? If I was playing Pokemon in high school, I would have got the crap beat out of me.
Okay, but like no. There was such a resurgence of Pokemon led by a select few, myself included, that you could at any time walk up to like a group of students, choose one and say you want a battle, and like both of them would just whip out decks of Pokemon cards.
Rick, this was in Seattle, I'm assuming. So don't you
Yeah.
think that the Nintendo probably sponsored this school in the first place?
See, in my high school, if you walked up to someone and said you want a battle, it meant a rap battle. So we used to rap about Pokemon, not me, but I had a friend who did
That was probably the other side of my school where we didn't walk over there. We were in
it.
the Pokemon side of the school.
All right.
All right. That's a huge Nintendosage right there that we just did, you guys. We should probably get moving into the main event, but you can look for the closed beta comes out the end of this year, and then Pokemon Go comes out in 2016. Who knows when, but you will certainly see me out in the world living out my dream as a Pokemon master. We're going to take a break and be right back for our main event.
Thank you.
Welcome back to N Express, where we are at our main event, or should I say our Super Mario Maker main event, because it's all Mario Maker for all of us this week.
Yep.
You guys, this game is amazing.
This game is so much better than I thought it would be.
You were pretty high on it at first.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about Super Mario Maker on our podcast for a few weeks now. I mean, Tim, you had a chance to try it out last week at PAX Prime. You know, we've seen the videos. We watched Nintendo World Championship. We all knew it was going to be good. I just didn't realize how amazing it would be, how many Easter eggs it would have, how amazing these levels that I've been playing online would be. There are some incredible levels online, guys. Did you play? It's one of the number one ranked levels. It's the Legend of Zelda level. It feels like a fever dream.
I played one called I know I played a Legend of Zelda level. It was top ranked. I haven't played nearly as much Mario Maker as you guys have. I don't have it. We can get into the reasons for that later. But I remember playing a Zelda level. It was very cool.
There's some really good levels. There's a level that was designed after the Pac-Man game. So it's built underwater, and they use the booze to replace the ghosts in Pac-Man. And so the way he designed the level, it's designed exactly like the first stage in the Pac-Man game.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's
amazing. There's a Tetris level. There's a Metroid level.
Yeah, I played the Metroid level. That was very cool. Very cool. Yep. Beat that one. I tried playing your Donkey Kong level. That was rough, man.
Okay, so here's the thing. So we got to talk about the game. We're also going to be talking about our levels. Okay, I made, I think, so far 7 levels. I've uploaded about 6. I don't even know if you can do this. Apparently, they say that if you change the clock and date on your Wii U, you can unlock all the features in one shot. I changed the clock and the date on my Wii U, and it didn't do anything to unlock any features. So I've had to slowly wait for all the features to unlock. But I'm not complaining because I actually like it this way. So I've been slowly making levels, and every time I would unlock new features, I would make a new level. But the thing is, I really like this idea that Nintendo had to slowly roll out the special features, because it's really giving me the opportunity to understand how to make an actual good level. Because I play a lot of crap levels already.
Terrible.
Terrible levels. Boring levels. So the thing is, Patrick, actually, I'm making a whole series of Donkey Kong levels because I have, like, as you well know, all the amiibo.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Donkey Kong characters is I just love playing the Donkey Kong characters in this 8-bit world because they're so... It's not just because Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong are so easy to maneuver, like they're faster and they can jump far. But I love the animation. Like for some reason, the animation on Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong looks way better than the animation on the rest of the characters. So I've been making a whole series of Donkey Kong levels because for me, it's sort of like my game, right? So even though you have to play them individually, I'm making like, I think I'm going to aim for 4 to start. And so the idea is that it's Donkey Kong Prison Escape. And so I've already made 2, which I put up online. But the thing is, I'm not trying to make levels that are rage-inducing. Like, the thing about my levels is, yeah, there's booby traps, and yeah, it does require a lot of skill, but it has a lot to do with reflexes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm not doing crazy things where I'm adding, like, 16 Bowsers in a room, and they're all giants, and it's impossible to get by Bowser because he's, like, there's 16 of them. You know what I mean? I'm not doing anything crazy like that yet. I'm just trying to, like, I'm trying to actually make what I think is, like, a solid level.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, I had trouble finishing my level. Aaron, I wish Aaron was on our show today because he is the only person who's finished every single one of my levels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've only finished... I only got around to playing... 3, and I just wanted to commend you that you actually made beatable, playable levels, and that, like, that's a good step. But levels that are fun, but still very testing.
Challenge accepted, Ricky. I am going to beat now every one of your levels.
I think I'm only, like, 3 away.
Try beating Tim's level.
Tim's got to get me the level, then.
I haven't beaten Tim's level yet. Yeah, it's called Shell Shock. It's a great level. I just can't finish it yet, but I haven't had much time to finish. Because the thing is, I started playing your level, and my nephew came over, and he really wanted to create a level, so I had to give up and hand over the gamepad to my nephew, so he started to create his level. But my Donkey Kong level is my favorite level I've created so far, but the thing is, I still don't have, I would say, 50% of the features. So I'm just like, part of me is so frustrated, because I'm like, oh, imagine what I can do if and only if I had all of these features. But at the same time, I like the fact that it's rolling out slowly.
So
I mean,
here's,
yeah, I think
the
it's
thing with
way
the,
better.
The features, you can unlock them pretty fast. My brother bought the game, so that's how I've been able to play it. And it's not so much the clock anymore. He didn't have to do anything with the clock. It's how much you use stuff. So if you just spam blocks on a stage, that will unlock things faster. The more you use the tools, the faster you unlock more tools. You also have to use every tool at least once in order to keep unlocking tools. But if you just like, say you make a mountain in the middle of a stage and you have tons of blocks in there, that's going to help you unlock things faster. That was the day one patch that Nintendo gave the game to make it so that you didn't have to spend 9 days. It wasn't necessarily going to take 9 days.
Okay.
Because my brother has everything unlocked already, and I think it took him about 3 days to get everything unlocked.
But I'm with Ricky on this one. I've had a lot of fun just figuring out how to best utilize every single tool in my arsenal right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like even when I'm just creating test stages, when I'm trying to figure stuff out, I've had fun playing my own levels. Just stupid test stuff. Like I have one level that I haven't uploaded or anything, but I was just literally like putting everything on the stage so that I could unlock more. And it turned into this little game where I was like, okay, so I'll start with the propeller hat because I have that right here. And every single platform will be impossible to get unless you have this propeller hat. And oh yeah, like all the enemies will be jumping at you from down below. And it turned out to be really fun. And then like halfway through the course, you get a fire flower. And then all of a sudden it's like, the propeller hat does you no good because you just have to literally hit everything with a fireball to get through a little passage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, it was an idea that I didn't have until like the game forced me into it because I was just testing everything.
Now, Tim, did you play my Donkey Kong level?
That was the one that like I think I typed in the code wrong because it was like, oh, this isn't an option. So then I went into
your
Dr. Mario one.
Yeah, it had it said all O's in your email, Rick, but there were supposed to be zeros.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened was I started with the Dr. Mario, and then like it was literally just like, oh, did you like that one? Try this one. So I like was going just in whatever order it told me to.
So the thing is, if you do access a level from a player, so if you play one of my levels, you can click on my profile, and then you can see all the levels I've created. But the reason why I ask is because in my Donkey Kong level, I placed so many booby traps, and I was watching my nephews play, and it was so much fun. Like the thing about Super Mario Maker, and I'm leading to a point here, not only is this an incredible level editor game, but it is just as fun to create a level, to play a level, and more importantly, to watch someone play your level. I think it's actually more fun to watch someone play your level. I just got such a kick out of it, like watching my nephews try to complete my Donkey Kong level and falling into booby trap number one, booby trap number two, booby trap number three, booby trap number four. Like, it was so fun. Like, they fell for each and every single one of my booby traps. It took my nephew over an hour to finish my level. I was a little worried because I thought I would suck at making levels. And I thought it would be incredibly hard and tedious and daunting. And it actually is so incredibly easy to create these levels. It's basically drag and drop. Much like copy and paste on your computer, right? Mm-hmm. Drag and drop, drag and drop. It's so easy. Anyone can create a level, no matter what your experience is as a gamer, no matter how many Super Mario games you've played or haven't played, anybody can create a level. And that's what's so amazing about this game. It's universal. And the thing about this game and what I wrote in my review is I think this is the best gift Nintendo could give its loyal fan base. It is by far the best gift. I mean, the 25-year anniversary was celebrated with the release of Super Mario Galaxy 2, which, by the way, we are going to review next week. It's a good game, but it was more of the same of what we got in the first Super Mario Galaxy, right? Mm-hmm. This is completely different. This is something completely new. This is something we've been waiting 30 years for. Like, Nintendo basically handed us the keys to the Mushroom Kingdom. It is like their number one franchise. And now we have a game in which anyone in the world can create a Super Mario level and or game. So this brings me to a point I brought up like a few weeks ago is, for me personally, this is the end of 2D platformers when it comes to the Mario franchise. But at the same time, it's also the start of something greater because now we have unlimited number of levels that we can play. So long as there is a console that can play Super Mario Maker, and it's so long as Nintendo has some kind of online service, there's an infinite number of levels that we can play. And so I really truly believe that we are going to get a Super Mario Maker sequel, which is going to give us more features. And I wouldn't be surprised if eventually we get to a game which allows us to create a 3D game of Mario, much like Mario 64. It is totally possible. I think this is just a stepping stone, and it's giving players just enough tools so it's not overwhelming, so anyone and everyone can play it to prepare them for what's coming in the future. And if ever there was a reason for the gamepad to exist, for all of those people that bitch and complain about the gamepad, which I absolutely love, this is it. This is the reason for the gamepad to exist. So much so that I'm willing to bet that Nintendo designed the Wii U console specifically with Super Mario Maker in mind.
That might be the case. There's no question.
Mario Paint.
Yeah, which they said it was kind of started out as a Mario Paint. Yeah, it's the game that works. The gamepad is, you could not make this on another console. You couldn't. It would be cumbersome on any other console.
Well, the thing is, you know, Sony has Little Big Planet, right? But have you ever played Little Big Planet? It is so frustrating to create a level.
Yeah, like, it's cumbersome to do that. To go in and out of menus is not necessarily great. And
it's
this
not
is,
fun.
Which is why it's so frustrating that the stage builder in Smash Bros. This generation was the worst. The Brawl one was so much better. Yeah. And I wish that it, like, was basically Super Mario Maker, but in Brawl with anything you can do in Brawl. Or Super Mario, or I give up. Yeah. Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. Like, it just makes sense to use the gamepad in this way. So any other stage builder, whether it be, like, Halo, you can build your own maps in... what Sackboy's game you were just saying? Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
You can build your own stages. But they're not as intuitive as this. They're not as straightforward. They're not accessible. Like, you can get really into it and you can do a lot. But you can do so much more with this.
Yeah. Sorry, that was my biggest disappointment with Smash, is the fact that one of the first things I did was I tried to create my own level. And I was just so frustrated. I thought it was like... I felt that it didn't have enough features and it was so incredibly hard. And I've seen some amazing levels online. Believe me, some people have skills and they've created some interesting and amazing levels, but they're few and far between. Most of it is crap. And the beauty about Super Mario Maker, which I think we should mention right now, is number one, you have to be able to complete your level if you want to upload it to the internet, which is such a smart move on the part of Nintendo, because that means you can't just create the craziest level that you yourself can't even beat. It has to be within the skill set of the player. So my Donkey Kong level is hard, but I can beat it. So therefore, I can upload it to the internet. But before, I could not. I had to adjust it because it was even harder before. It took me an hour, and I couldn't beat it. So I was like, okay, I got to make an adjustment.
Now, that's one of the coolest things, because people have created these puzzle stages, right? Like, my brother made one that's just one screen. You're already at the flagpole, but there's a wall of bricks in front of you, and there's nothing else. And you have to figure out, how do I get through this wall of bricks when I have absolutely nothing else there? Well, that stage is beatable. It's uploaded online. So that way, everybody knows when they download something, you're not going to get burned when you get to the end, like you do this all for nothing.
Right.
Every single stage, every puzzle stage is beatable in some way. You just have to figure it out.
That said, have you guys come across a stage that is beatable, but if you don't do it just right, it's no longer beatable?
Right. Like, there's one stage, which I think is the highest rank right now, where you can't press a button.
The Rube Goldberg stage, yeah. The Rube Goldberg machine stage, where, yeah, you just sit there. And it says the name of the stage is don't press anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there are some where, like, it's the purpose, like, or it says just run, like just run, and that's all you can do. Otherwise, you'll lose.
The French guy who made that stage that don't press anything, that guy has a ton of those things up. I will say this, the guy, I mean, those aren't necessarily fun for gameplay, but it's amazing the precision in which he's orchestrated everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this game too. It's not that you're just creating a platformer, but a lot of people are creating some puzzle stages, and the puzzle stages I think are the best.
Yeah, I love those.
There was one specific stage, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was like the whole thing was just puzzle after puzzle after puzzle. So you had to try to figure out how to get out of the room. Then you had to try to figure out how to get to the top ledge, and you had to try to figure out how to cross the bottomless pit. And it wasn't like super hard, like in the sense where it was all about reflexes. It was just about patience. those are the kind of levels I want to try to make, because right now I'm making levels that's all about reflexes and how good of a Mario player you are, like based on your skill set, right? Mm-hmm. But now I want to try to start making levels that are going to actually make people think, and I'm going to try to hopefully come up with some really cool puzzles.
Yeah, you could almost make your own Zelda dungeon within a Mario game just by having a bunch of puzzles to get through to the end. And then you have sub levels too, so you can add a little extra depth with that.
And I'm already toying around with that. Like in my level, there's one point where you can't go on unless you hit a block with a Koopa shell. Like you need a spring, so you need to hit a specific block with a Koopa shell. Otherwise, you can't go on. Mm-hmm. And so it's like little puzzles like that where like Nintendo doesn't tend to do that, where Mario can't go forward unless you solve the puzzle first. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of fun to see that. I have seen it backfire the other way, though, where some of these levels are like fall apart because if you miss one thing, then it's immediately unbeatable.
You know, it can be maddening. It's a fine line you have to walk between making your stage just infuriating versus making it challenging.
Like beatable. Or like my friend keeps saying that he loves this game and he's built some beautiful levels, but his thing is that there's a difference between hard by design and hard by flaw. Mm-hmm. And too many levels right now I think are hard by flaw, and so I can't wait for more people to play. Like that's why I think I liked Ricky's stages so much, is because they are beatable and there's no point where you're just like you're done because you messed up once. It's doable.
Yeah,
it's challenging. It's satisfyingly challenging, but it's very approachable and doable.
You know, it felt like a stage as opposed to just some maddening creation somebody threw.
Like a massive enemy. It's something better.
Well, here's the thing. I wish Aaron was here on the podcast right now because I want to talk to him about his level, because basically Aaron designed this level and I swear to God, I couldn't get past the first roadblock. And I tried and tried and tried and tried again and I couldn't get past the first roadblock. And so the thing is, for me, like I don't want to create that kind of level because I didn't even see the rest of the level. Like he put so much time and effort into creating this level and I couldn't even get past the first roadblock. So when I'm making my level, I try to keep this in mind. I'm like, if I'm going to spend like an hour or 3 hours or 4 hours creating a level, yeah, I want to make it hard, but I want people to explore my level. And so that's what I'm trying to do with my game. Like with my Donkey Kong stages, like I said, I'm doing a series of Donkey Kong stages, and the reason why I'm calling them Donkey Kong stages is because I have the Donkey Kong amiibo, so you're supposed to start as either Diddy Kong and or Donkey Kong, right? Mm-hmm. But there's different ways to finish the level. Like you can complete it in three or four different ways, but you know, way number one might be a lot harder than way number two, and so on and so forth. But the Zelda level I played that I was talking about earlier on is incredible because it's structured in a way where it's sort of like a maze, and it does feel and look like a classic like Zelda game, right? And so you start off and you have the mystery mushroom and it turns you into Link. Mm-hmm. And then you hear some like Zelda music and of course all the Zelda characters pop up and you're in a dungeon and it's basically like a maze. You have to try to figure out how to get out of this maze. I played that level over and over and over, whereas some of the levels I was playing online, I just automatically quit the level. I was like, I don't want to play this. Because it was just like, it kind of felt like the player was trying to do something right away that was so rage-inducing that to me it was no longer fun. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to move on to a better level. And so the thing is, the reason why I say this is because if you're listening to this podcast and you are going to create levels, keep in mind there's millions of people creating levels too, and you kind of want people to play your level and explore your level. If you're going to make something that's so hard that they can't even get past the first 5 seconds of the level, people are just going to quit and move on to the next.
Yeah, and you have to think in terms of like Nintendo design philosophy too, why their games are so popular. It's because they do ease you into a level. They have that philosophy where they start you out with just basically stating the rules of the level, and then they kind of build upon that everything passing as you get further and further into the stage. And that's a good way to look at it for people who are just starting to design stuff.
Yeah, like the thing is, I placed this booby trap, for example, and I'll tell you why in a second. So I placed this booby trap and I was like, is anyone even going to find this booby trap? And so my nephews were testing out the level and they were trying to finish it. And so what happens is you fall into sort of a pit and it looks like you can jump out of the pit. But what you don't realize is I placed invisible question mark blocks in the pit. So you can fall in, but you can't get out, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I took it one step further. So what I did was in the actual pit, I put an additional mystery mushroom. And if you get the mystery mushroom, it turns you into Giant Mario. In order to get Giant Mario, you have to have the new 8-bit Mario amiibo that they released with Super Mario Maker. And so when you turn into Giant Mario, what happens is the floor beneath you will fall apart because every time Giant Mario jumps, the floor crumbles. And then underneath the floor, of course, I had a bottomless pit. So what happened was the person gets the mystery mushroom and they're all happy and then they realize they fall right into the bottomless pit.
That's cruel, Ricky.
That is a booby trap that gets a laugh out of people.
Yes.
And people love it. It's not about rage-inducing sort of like, I don't know, obstacles which are made almost impossible to beat unless you're the creator, you know, like some kind of trick. Like, I don't know, I'm kind of like conflicted because I like the challenge, but some levels I just feel like aren't necessarily as fun to play.
You want to have some cleverness to the challenge. And that's something, you know, it's going to be a mixed bag out there because not everybody can design a level like master genius Nintendo's designers have been doing for years. Yeah. You know, there is a reason they get paid to do this, and it's because they're very, very good at it. So we're going to have a lot of levels out there that are going to, they're going to be subpar. Like, that's to be expected. The cream seems to be rising to the top, though. I mean, when you look at the heavily starred levels, in general, they're pretty good.
Right. I have a question about the top-rated levels. Did those people have the game before it was released? Like, are they, say, for example, critics?
It's because, very possible, because they have an incredible amount of stars already.
Yeah, because, look, when I got the – I bought the game, and I have to tell you guys a story later on, but I purchased the game the morning of, right? So I was at Toys R Us at 9 a.m. because I wanted to make sure I got all the amiibo figures that were released on the very same day. Thankfully, I did. So I went home and I played the game right away, and those guys who are ranked number one today were ranked number one in, or like the top 10 ranked that day or the top 10 ranked even today. And so I kind of feel like that's an unfair advantage to everyone else who had to actually go out and buy the game. Like, I think Nintendo should have reset the server.
Yeah, if that's the case, I agree with you completely.
It's the same people, man. Tim, did you buy the game the first day? Because it's the exact, like, look, I'm like, okay, I know there's a time difference. Like, maybe in Europe they got it 6 hours earlier than us. But there's no way that these people made all of those levels in 6 hours, uploaded to the internet, and had like 10,000 like comments and ratings and stars. I kind of feel it's like an unfair advantage that they have.
Yeah, and it's something like, you never go to a website like YouTube and it's the same video for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
Yeah.
They cycle through them. They're like, oh, this is this week's top rated. And I think something like that would really benefit.
Well, they do have the featured section, but I'm specifically talking about the ranking. Like, I just kind of feel like they have this unfair advantage. And I think that those levels should have been reset because the game was not yet released.
They probably should have been. There is an up and comers too, that at least you can click on to get new ones that are getting high rated.
So here's my question for you guys. So there are, of course, rules and limitations. You can't just do anything you want with this level creator. Like, you can't create a RPG turn-based Super Mario game, right? Like, you have to stick to the rules of the Super Mario franchise. Now, I like the fact that you have to stick to the rules of the Super Mario franchise, but I kind of wish we had a little bit more features. For example, have you guys tried to upload sound effects and/or music?
Yeah, we did. Okay. I've done the sound effects one. I haven't tried music yet.
So you can basically record any sound for up to, I think, about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, I'm assuming it's because of rights issues, but that's kind of like a bummer because, like, I was like, I wanted to create this game, like this Donkey Kong game, the series of Donkey Kong levels. And I was like, it would be awesome if I can get like the soundtrack to the original King Kong movie and or the soundtrack to the original Donkey Kong game. And so in my head, I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to take the music and I'm going to put it in my level. And no, I can only put 5 seconds. And not only can you only put 5 seconds, but you can only include one audio soundbite. So if you record an audio soundbite of, say, the Donkey Kong theme song from the original like movie from like the 1930s, and then you want to add in the song from the original classic Donkey Kong arcade game, it will automatically overwrite the first recording because you can only add one. Yes. I was like, what's up with that?
I'm sure you nailed it. You hit the nail right on the head. It has got to be a rights thing, and they don't want anything. They don't even want the possibility of infringing upon anyone by having the music in there.
Fair enough, but then why can't, and maybe they will, because I'm pretty sure, and we're going to talk about this very soon, I'm pretty sure they're going to release additional features bonus content in the upcoming weeks, but I hope to God that we can get the soundtracks for some of our classic games and or looks or stages, because I would love to make a Fire Emblem stage. I would love to have music from the Legend of Zelda series. I would love to have more options available to me when I'm creating these levels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a huge celebration of Mario. So they're starting out. It's all very, very Mario. Like, you're not going to get outside of Mario's aesthetic. But I'm pretty happy that I can put Link into levels. I love Zelda. I like Zelda more than I like Mario. So I'm really, really thankful that, like, I can put a little Link sprite running through the level. That's a ton of fun to me. But I agree, it'd be really, really fun to get some more options in terms of music and stage design. Yes. Plus, I would like some more variety. Like, we don't have everything from Mario even, and I would like even more.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if this ends up being kind of a Splatoon-type thing. This game is already packed with stuff, so it's not exactly like the release of Splatoon, but they really added on and heard some feedback from people with that game. I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo's listening heavily on the Mario Maker. Just little criticisms. I don't think anybody's had any complaints about Mario Maker, but they're, you know, stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. But my favorite component is the Mystery Mushroom. And the strange thing is, you can't use the Mystery Mushroom, like the amiibo characters like Link, Zelda, et cetera, in any world that's not the original two 8-bit games from the NES. So all of the game is 8-bit games. I haven't even touched New Super Mario or Super Mario World, because I'm just, like, so busy making worlds revolving around the amiibo, because I spent so much money on the amiibo, and I love my amiibo, but to me, this is, like, the best use of amiibo yet, because I can actually create a Super Mario level and play with these characters, like the villager and, or, I don't know, like, whatever, any character.
Olimar and Ganon can go through a stage. And they all do little things. There's little musical cues, and they all have, like, if you play as Samus, she'll roll up into a little ball when you duck.
Yeah.
It's great, the morph ball. So, yeah. I really wanted to see Link in a Super Mario World aesthetic, though. I thought that would have been awesome.
Okay, so here's the thing. So I have all of these amiibos, so I'm basically unlocking everything with my amiibo, but I was told that you don't need the amiibo to unlock everything.
That's correct.
So the thing is, that comes with the Mystery Mushroom, but you can't choose what's going to be in the Mystery Mushroom. It's random what's going to pop up, right? So if you don't have the amiibo for, say, Little Mac, can you ever actually guarantee that you're going to have Little Mac in the stage? I don't think so, right?
No, you can. Yeah, I think once you unlock them, you can purposely choose them and put them in a stage. You can cycle through. When you select the Mystery Mushroom, you can cycle through every character that you've unlocked via amiibo or otherwise.
But that doesn't make sense, because I don't see anything that indicates that I've unlocked all of these amiibo, even though I have.
There's like a huge chart.
Yes,
that's
the big,
like, 100.
Chart. You've seen that,
including,
right?
Like, you can be a Goomba. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
like you can be a question blocks, all sorts of stuff.
So you're saying there's an actual chart specifically for the Mystery Mushroom?
Yeah.
For
all
the characters you've unlocked.
Completely skip that option. I gotta check out my Super Mario Maker when we're done podcasting now.
There's a lot. Like, you press that little robot button, and then when you're first starting, it's like, make sure you check out all these little features down here. They don't really go into in depth on what they actually are. So I think most people were just like, whatever, shut up. How many people are missing out on stuff because every single tool they get, they're not toying around with? Like,
yeah,
I know if you take a, like, Koopa and shake him around, he turns red.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I, like, kind of forgot immediately that I should be doing that with absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't occur to me, like, that the piranha plants, when you shake them around, they become the fire spitting piranha plants.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I remembered to start shaking everything, all of a sudden I have the idea for a level where absolutely every enemy has a fire spitting piranha plant on his back. Like, that's just the whole level. I don't know why, but
yeah,
that's what I made.
Which brings me back to the unlocking. This is something else I wrote in my review. I think it's also really wise that when it comes to unlocking the features, it's divided into themes. So you unlock the castle, you unlock the underwater world, you unlock the airship, and so on and so forth. And then you get those bonus features. And I thought that was really cool. And so,
yeah.
I don't know, it's like, I'm not really complaining about the wait. I'm impatient, but I am purposely not cheating the system because I want to kind of, like, slowly enjoy the game. And You know, it'll come eventually, but I love this game. I think this game's amazing. It's honestly my favorite game of the year so far, which is saying a lot because, you know, we've had some amazing games already released, and the year is not even over. So,
Yeah, it's an amazing
and
game.
like, think about that. Like, this game just came out, and if they start adding bonus material, like later on, like they did with Splatoon, God knows what we're gonna get.
Oh, I know.
And the question on everyone's minds is, does this mean that 2D Mario is gone for good? And I don't think so, because already I'm remembering all the stages where there's all sorts of platforms that we have like no option to, or
Right.
like where they tilt sideways, or like different aesthetics and different power-ups that are not in the game right now. So I don't know that we'll ever get it, but I'm hoping it kind of slows them down, that new Super Mario Bros. Maybe goes away for a little while so that we can toy around with this. But that said, this game is potentially limitless because new content can always be coming out, and people are creating brilliant stages every day.
Well, the thing is, they can continue making 2D platformers if they, for example, add new characters, new bosses, new villains,
New
new special
powers.
new
Yeah,
power.
exactly.
They can take these new power-ups and enemies and so on and so forth and add them to Super Mario Maker. The one major complaint I've heard about Super Mario Maker, and I think the only major complaint I've heard so far from my friends, is it's not available in the 3DS. But my counter argument is it had to be released exclusively for the Wii U because they are trying to sell more consoles.
You know, I would also say
Yeah.
that this is not a pick up and play for 15 minutes game, and that's generally what they try to put out on the 3DS too. I think it's made for a home console where you're sitting down on the couch and you can take your time. Instead of this isn't something where you try to piecemeal a stage over the course of, you know.
But you see, I actually kind of sort of agree and disagree with you. I think that this is the kind of game where I can play on the go because the levels are relatively short, right? So I could be on the bus, and within one bus ride to work, I can play like maybe 20 to 30 levels,
That's true. You're
right?
right. Playing,
So,
yeah, you're right. Playing levels, it's perfect for that, I guess. That's true.
right. So the thing is,
assuming you get good levels to play, though.
right, assuming you get good levels to play. So I think it would be good just to be able to play people's levels when you're on the go, not necessarily create levels. And so the thing is, it would be great if they can have an add-on for the 3DS. So if you buy Super Mario Maker for the Wii U, you can also get this add-on, which allows you to just play the levels, but not necessarily create the levels. And or just release it next year. Keep it exclusive for the Wii U for a year.
Yep.
So hopefully more people will buy the console, and then later release it for the 3DS.
Yeah, and that's not a bad
See,
idea.
the only complaints I've heard about the game are that there are no checkpoints, but I think that's good. It encourages shorter levels and encourages people not to make things too difficult. And then just the fact that the community is split between really, really brilliant designers and people who don't know what too much is.
I mean that's going to happen. But there are ways of filtering it, so you'll get around most
No, but
issues.
I'm sure we've all played a level, and it's like as soon as you start the level, there's like a gazillion things in front of you. There's like 500 Bowsers, 200 like Koopas,
Or like
rockets.
three giant-sized Bowsers stacked on top of each other, and
Yeah.
you're just like, good idea, guy. Not, see you later.
And that's what I was afraid of when I wrote originally that piece, dissenting piece on Super Mario Maker, that I was worried about a ton of stuff that's all flash and zero substance.
Yeah,
but I
But
think that the substance is coming out. I think that people are getting a hang of it, and they're beginning to understand that if they want their level to succeed, to get stars, to get replayed, then you need to be able to beat it.
it
And
needs to
that's one
be
of the
good.
biggest things.
And one of the
Yeah.
surprises that I found was I like how people like okay take Ricky your Donkey Kong stage. It has a Donkey Kong feel, a Donkey Kong Jr. feel really, I think, to part of it. But it has a Donkey Kong feel to it. And that's kind of cool that you can blend like people the Zelda stage, blend Zelda and Mario. And it's a different sort of feel that I thought was very cool. And that's where the newness of Super Mario Maker can come into play. You're not just playing old Mario stages like I thought most people were going to do. They're very creative. The Metroid stage I thought was brilliant, and
Yeah.
yeah, and that kind of it blended those the feels of those games into something completely different that I really thought was cool as a platformer. I also hope they unlock the features. There seem to be a certain features that you can only get if your levels are starred online, and Nintendo said that you know you should give stars away to the levels you like so that those people can de design crazier levels. I hope they figure out ways to unlock those features for everybody, or they allow that, because there are going to be some people that their good levels may not ever be really found, and they might not receive the stars they need in order to get these extra tools.
Yeah. So that's it. It's not perfect, but I think it's pretty darn close to perfect. It's an amazing game. And if you haven't played the game, why are you even listening to our podcast?
Awesome. So go play Mario Maker. If you don't have a Wii U, that's not an excuse. Go buy one and play Mario Maker. There you have it. We're going to take a break and be right back with our post-game content, a discussion of what movies, or excuse me, what games we would like to be turned into movies.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it? An evil is rising from the darkness, which can only be stopped by one hero. Fox McCloud and his Star Fox team. Pepe Hare, Falco Lombardi, and Slippy Toad. Together, they must save Corneria.
Fox, get this guy off me!
Time to show the monkeys who's boss! Do a barrel roll!
Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our post-game content, the final segment of our show. You guys, the homework assignment this week was to decide on two movies that you would like to see come out of the video game industry. So, for example, with the news of a Mega Man movie in development, I said, what movie would you like to see come out of something like this? So, the requirements are they have to be based on video games, and one of them, one of your two movie ideas, has to be Nintendo-based, because this is N-Express. We're all about Nintendo. We all love Nintendo. And let's face it, Nintendo has some of the best, but perhaps the hardest to adapt sort of games. So, Patrick, what's your first game?
All right, so I'm going to go with both Nintendo games, but the first one I think is going to be F-Zero. I think that there is a now I know from reading a little bit of the site, you guys are fans of Speed Racer, right?
Right. Did you listen to our podcast last week?
I did, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about Speed Racer, and I think it's the best example that Nintendo or movie franchise can use when going in to create one of these games like Mega Man, and F-Zero is a prime example, but go on.
Absolutely. So I think combining the visuals of something like Speed Racer, which so suits the F-Zero world, and then adding in some intergalactic drama into all this, with a movie like using a rivalry like Rush, and Speed Racer had a rivalry too, but creating some drama around stuff like that within this high speed world. And F-Zero has a fairly complicated backstory. I mean, there was manga on it, I believe. And there's, this whole thing where there's these mega wealthy people who have created this tournament. It's almost like, Roman Colosseum type stuff where the people in charge are kind of repressing the workers of the galaxy by entertaining them with these games. And here you've got these various cast of human and alien characters who are all competing in this cup, and they all have various backgrounds too. Like Captain Falcon isn't just a racer, he's a bounty hunter.
Yep.
So there's all sorts of different things that you can bring in this, all sorts of elements that you could bring into an F-Zero type movie, where there could be intrigue, there's action obviously with the racing, you can have some drama with the interpersonal relationships between the racers. I know that Captain Falcon, oh, there was a doctor that's like his arch rival. Oh, no, it was that samurai guy that was his arch rival, because they had been partners on the police force years ago, and that guy betrayed him or something like that. But you can have all sorts of stuff like that. So there can be vendettas out against each other. I think it could make for an actual, you could make a fascinating story and then combine that with brilliant visuals. Could make a very cool
Yeah,
movie.
I totally agree. That could be really cool. I hadn't even thought about that. F-Zero.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it when you're playing the game, but there is stuff there. There's elements they can use there.
Well, here's the
Yeah.
F-Zero would have been my second pick. If I was, the president of Nintendo, I would choose this as my first game to bring to the big screen, and it would be
Animal Crossing.
no,
I'm just kidding.
Star Fox. Star Fox, dude. Think about it. What is going to be the biggest movie of the year?
Star Wars.
Yes.
Yep.
Nailed
And
it.
If anything, Star Wars is an apt comparison because Star Fox is quite like Star Wars. I mean, to some extent, you know what I mean? Like when you think about the characters and Fox and the storylines and the planets, it's intergalactic battle. And I mean, Falco, and can we make comparisons to Han Solo without pissing off Star Wars fanatics? Like,
no, I was thinking that. And Slippy is kind of like C-3PO, really.
Totally, totally.
Peppy's a little Obi-Wan there.
Dude, if you're a Nintendo and you want to make a movie and you want it to be huge and you want to make $1 billion and you want people to buy your consoles and your games, make a Star Fox movie. Don't make a Super Mario movie. Do not touch the Legend of Zelda series, no. At least not for your first big screen movie, because if you screw that up, it's over, right?
Yep.
Start with Star Fox, because it's not one of the big three. It's not Metroid. You don't want to screw up Metroid either. You know, Mega Man's not necessarily owned by Nintendo, it's Capcom. So yeah, Star Fox. And the thing is, the reason why F-Zero would be my second pick is because I would tie it in to F-Zero. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want them to do what Marvel does, where each and every single movie is setting up the next movie, and it's about this interconnected cinematic universe, which is kind of annoying because instead of focusing on the story of that movie, it's already trying to set up the next three movies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they can easily have cameo appearances and somehow tie in F-Zero to Star Fox. And it would be the best way for Nintendo to create a cinematic universe is start with Star Fox, do something like F-Zero. You already have Speed Racer as a model to look to. Look at how well they adapted Speed Racer to the big screen.
Yeah.
And that's it. Star Fox is the way to go, man.
Now, would you do Star Fox as a live action, or would you do it animated or live action? Okay.
Totally live action. You got to do live action. There's no point. Look, unless you're Pixar or Disney, I mean, and I guess to some extent DreamWorks, like you can, like, of course, animated films make a lot of money at the box office, right? Mm-hmm. So you can make an animated film for Star Fox, but I don't think it's what Nintendo needs. Nintendo needs to go huge. If you're going to do this, come big or don't come at all. And they need live action. And the thing is, look at movies these days. Look at the Guardians of the Galaxy. Look at Star Wars. Look at Speed Racer. The technology is there. It is totally possible. This is not 1980 whatever when the Super Mario movie was released and it was a god-awful mess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You use the Jim Henson Company and then blend that with CGI and you could have some amazing looking main characters, I think.
Right? And can I just remind you what happened at the E3 digital event last year?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever bothered to think that maybe Nintendo and the Jim Henson Company have already been discussing the possibility of making these movies with their characters? There was also a video featured later on in which Miyamoto met Jim Henson's son and had a tour of the Jim Henson Company, and they were talking about the Nintendo characters and the Muppets and so on and so forth. They are clearly building a relationship between those two companies, guys. So do not be surprised if in the next 5 years we have a movie out on the big screen and it involves the Jim Henson Company and Nintendo.
That would be very, would be great, very interesting.
It means humor. Yeah, so I think that would work well because it includes that humor element that Jim Henson's so well known for. Like, no one would take the Muppets seriously if they weren't so funny. So something like that could be really, really awesome.
Yeah, and it could have a little bit of the darkness, you know, or not darkness, but it could have some of the, yeah, darkness of the Jim Henson movies. And Star Fox, I think, lends itself well to that.
Also, so my friend pointed this out, and I, like, don't know if I should spread this at all, but apparently in some of, like, the original background story of Star Fox, all of Team Fox's, like, team are amputees and they don't have legs.
What?
Have you guys heard this?
No. You talking about the actual booklet that came with the original N64 game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever looked at that booklet, Patrick?
It has not in a long time.
It's a backstory for the characters. It's like that booklet wacky. Itself could be like the storyboards for a movie. Totally.
Yeah. No, it'd work well, but it's such a dark twist on such like a kid-friendly game. And then like I took it a step further and I was like, oh god, and like Fox uses kicking moves in Smash Bros. So like he doesn't feel his robot legs, so he's just like, oh, I'll kick everyone.
I did not think about that at all.
And now everyone out there is like, how do I even swallow this information? I don't know how you do. It's weird.
Anyways, Tim, we're not supposed to pick Mega Man. Because we already talked about Mega Man last week. We're not supposed to choose Metroid, and I'm assuming no one's going to choose Zelda because it's too obvious of a choice.
Yeah. Plus, I think I still like the idea.
I never want to see a Zelda movie, to tell you the truth.
I like the idea of it as like a Netflix show better now anyway.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, I think it could work. I think it'd be hard, but I think it could work. But I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way so no one else can take it, because that's how I got to play. Ricky, you said that I'm Pokemon obsessed, and I just want you to know that I am going to the Seattle Symphony to see Pokemon music played live tonight. And so easily, my top choice would be a series of Pokemon movies. Easily.
Okay, like animated, I guess. Now,
They've already done animated Pokemon movies.
Yeah. I haven't put any thought into this at all, but I would probably break it into three movies, make it live action, and try to get like a darker sort of tone than any Pokemon has ever used, so that the people that have matured with Pokemon can approach it as a mature audience, but don't make it too dark, but just try to explain how this world actually works, how these kids can wander the wilderness catching and battling Pokemon, and then just go into like the character relationships with both their Pokemon and their friends, and just talk about this one trainer's adventure from the very beginning, getting his first Pokemon, all the way to beating the final gym leader, or take it to the Elite Four, whatever you want to do. I think you'd have to do at least a trilogy to make it work, but I think you could do a really, really awesome action Pokemon.
Okay, so you don't want it to be like the animated movie that they've already made?
No, I would keep it so far away from the... I would maybe like reference the animated movie, like throw some elements from that in it, but I would want it to be its own entity. In fact, I think I would maybe name the main character Ash, but also maybe just name him Red, because anyone that's played the game would be like, oh, okay, so this is based on the game and not necessarily the anime. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite movies of all time growing up was Labyrinth. You know, the movie with David Bowie?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Right?
I mean, I can picture a Pokemon movie sort of in the style of Labyrinth, where all the characters are clearly not human, and you have this one human who's in this world, and it could be like a maze. And, I mean, again, I'm not familiar with Pokemon, but I think it's doable. I think it's more than possible.
See, I think I would take a hyper-realistic approach where it's like, you know, all these human characters are walking around. You can film them. But then it would be so fun to see all of your favorite Pokemon redesigned as like, can you imagine Charizard as like this 6 foot tall orange dragon?
Oh no, it would be great.
I know, it'd be so cool. And then all of a sudden it would take like that element of like all your favorite cutesy Pokemon would still be adorable, but all of their fiercer evolved forms would be that much fiercer. And I think you could do it just right, where it's not scaring anyone, but it's still just as awesome.
Sorry, man, the way you guys talk about Pokemon, it's like you guys are talking about Game of Thrones. Like dragons, basically, collecting characters, killing off characters.
Well, there are, but then there's also like Squirtle, you know? They're not all dragons and monsters.
No, I mean, it feels like Pokemon has as many characters as Game of Thrones at this point.
Oh, probably four.
I mean, how many Pokemon are there? 760-something?
Yeah. There's a lot. It's got more than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so Pokemon's a little bit bigger and a little bit... When was Game of Thrones originally written?
Oh, forever ago.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I don't know which one's older, but I know which one's better. And anyone who thinks that Game of Thrones is cooler than Pokemon can suck it.
I'm with you, Tim.
Yeah.
All right, are we doing my next one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, for my next one, I doubt anybody would... I recently wrote an article for the site pitching movies that I would like to write for Nintendo to make movies out of that are Nintendo franchises, and one of them was Punch-Out. I think the potential for Punch-Out as a movie is great. Now, the way I don't necessarily – I think Nintendo, if they're going to make a movie on one of their franchises, they need to do something slightly different and off with it. So my idea for that would be that Little Mac has already made it to the top. and he has become the champion, but turn this into a fall and redemption type story where he gets involved with things. See, the Nintendo would never agree to this, but I would infuse this thing with some heavy drama where Mac gets mixed up with the wealthy lifestyle. He fires Doc because he's full of himself, and he ends up getting in with the mafia, which of course happens in the world of boxing. Throws a fight, takes a dive, loses all his fame and money, owes the mafia, and has to basically start from nowhere again. Rehires Doc, comes crawling back to him. They put on that pink tracksuit, and they get to training, and Mac's going to take it. He's going to go all the way to the top, but this time he's going to do it right.
See, I was thinking more like a Karate Kid for the next generation, only instead of karate, it's boxing.
They definitely could do that. I mean, that certainly that would be a more Nintendo-friendly story. The way I would love to see that franchise handled and have all of these fighters who already sound like they have mafia names, like just they would all be the stepping stones as he basically takes down this whole ring, this racketeering ring. I mean,
that would be interesting.
How could King Hippo not be a monster? He's obviously a hired goon. I think that would be something that would be very, very cool. It would have to be done, and again, this would be in a fairly realistic way. You wouldn't have a cartoonish King Hippo. You could, I guess, but the way I saw it is that it would be fairly realistic. Guy's nicknamed Glass Joe, but he's a real guy. He's not a cartoon. He's not a cartoon character. He'll just show some of the traits that they have in the game. But they would try to play this fairly straight.
There's actually a few YouTube short films based on the Punch-Out series, which you can watch, and some of them are actually really cool.
You know, they could still make it. I mean, obviously, Rocky deals with some adult issues, but never goes into, you know, any sort of coarseness. And Cinderella Man, you know, you can have drama, heavy drama in something, in movies like that, and yet still not cross into a hardcore, you know, hard R or something like that.
Yeah, I can see it. I think it'd work.
Yeah, it could. But I think Ricky's right that the more Nintendo, like the more the more possible one would be that Karate Kid style for sure.
All right, yeah. All right, why don't we keep rolling, Ricky? What's your second film?
Okay, well, I'm not going to go with a Nintendo game. I'm actually just going to go with a game. It's called BioShock, and the reason is the reason is because first of all, I'm a huge fan of the horror genre, and this game is actually pretty spooky. And this is going to sound really weird, but one of my dream projects, like if you can give me a magic wand and I can direct any movie, it would be an Aquaman movie. I love Aquaman, and just the idea of like making some sort of like movie that takes place mostly underwater, I don't know, just intrigues me, right? And so the thing about this game is it takes place in and around an underwater city known as Rapture. And so I like the idea of the setting. I like the idea that it's a sci-fi horror film. I think the storyline itself is pretty simple and easy for most people to digest. Like, it's not overly complicated. It's not like Metal Gear Solid. It's not dealing with time travel. It's not like The Legend of Zelda, which has like God knows how many games in the series with complicated storylines and timelines that don't necessarily make any sense. You know, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy. I think it would make a wicked movie. And, you know, of all the big screen video game adaptations, I think the best ones are all the horror related ones, like Silent Hill, I think, is the best video game movie to date. And I'm kind of like a fan of some of the Resident Evil movies. So it seems to be the way to go. And I think it would make a lot of money. I mean, look, if they're going to make a movie based on Five Nights at Freddy's, they can make a BioShock movie, right?
I think, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, why not adapt some video games that are already very cinematic and already like more thought-provoking than most other games? I'm going to cut in now and share my final one. I really like, part of me for shock value just really wanted to say Pikmin and say imagine Matt Damon from The Martian like coming across little weird colorful creatures and giant fruit.
You know what, Tim? I was close to thinking Pikmin myself.
And it's so weird, but I think it'd work. But that's not what I'm going to go with. That was just like a silly idea I had, but I think it'd work. Nintendo, think about it.
Wait, you do know that they made like a bunch of short films.
Short films about the Pikmin. Yeah, but I think like focusing on Olimar crash landing on a planet and trying to get home
No, but apparently, like, they've made, like, over 20. They've only released, like, 3 or 4.
Oh, I was only aware of, like, the 3.
Yeah, no, Miyamoto said he actually made, like, over 20. Or at least has written it. Like, he basically made enough short films and or has written enough short films that it could be turned into a feature.
So there you go. Like, we might have that already. But I'm going to go not Nintendo. And I'm going to go ahead and surprise no one by saying Destiny. I do another podcast about Destiny. But you know Destiny's problem? And everyone agreed was the story.
Mm-hmm.
So how cool would it be for them to be like, you know what? Sorry, guys. Here is the backstory of everything from Destiny. It has nothing to do with the game. Here's just a cool, badass movie where three guys with space magic are taking out darkness. Like, so, it could be really, really cool, especially if it was, like, the origin of, like, going into the details. Like, I don't know if either of you play, but, like, going into the details of, like, how all the Guardians came about, building the city, and, like, the fight of humanity against all odds, like, that could be a really, really cool movie.
So the best reason to make a video game movie is because the story in the video game makes no sense.
No, here's the thing. It makes sense. I guess if you're talking about the plot line for Destiny, it is probably too choppy. And there's too much to cut out, that so it wouldn't make a ton of sense. But the actual background makes a lot of sense. And it came with an app. And the app has a ton of fun information that makes a lot of sense. So I think staying far away from the actual story of the game and just covering the background, the very early years of the Traveler saving Earth and fighting this huge alien invasion, it could be really, really engaging and be such a like side note to the game that it'd just be almost like a supplementary material as opposed to based on the game. I think it could be really cool. So thanks so much for listening this week, you guys. Ricky D, where can we find you online?
Okay, well, first of all, you can like us on our brand new NXpress Facebook page. I always post the link within the post on our website. So online, Twitter, follow us, popoptic.com is the website. Like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Tumblr. Once again, it's P-O-P-O-P-T-I-Q, popoptic.com.
Awesome. Patrick Murphy, thank you so much for being on our show yet again.
Yeah, I love doing this show. You can find me, obviously, writing under the video game section at popoptic.com. And my Twitter is, it's @PS_porcupine.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter as well, @TheFreemason, MAISON. You can also find me in the game section of popoptic.com. Check out some of my work there, where I will soon be reviewing Destiny the Taken King, no surprise. If you do like Destiny, go listen to my other podcast. This podcast, Came from the Moon, also on Pop Optic, the best source for all things video games. Thanks so much for listening to NXpress, you guys. We will talk to you next week.
Early next week.